people ask you what you do, you say, I change lives through vision, and specifically through a process, one of them, called neurovisual optometry. So let's start there. I'm just kind of blown away that at the heart of this discipline, there's a connection between our brain and our eyes that allows you to diagnose issues with the brain by examining the eyes and then treat those disorders by treating the eyes. And I just, this is so just amazing, such something that I had no idea even existed. For the average person, Dr. Nick, explain exactly what neurovisual optometry is.
Well, I didn't even know it existed because we didn't even have it as part of our curriculum at the University of Waterloo School of Optometry. We had a portion called binocular vision. In other words, how the eyes work together, move, how we focus, basically the hardware of the visual system. And then it wasn't until a colleague came to my house and saw, because my youngest son has cerebral palsy, and he saw the way that his body was positioned, and he mentioned that we can help him with vision therapy. And I'm thinking, what does the body have to do with the eyes and the brain? Same question that you just asked me. And he tried to explain to me, and I didn't really understand. So I did my own research because I have a vested interest now in anything that can support my child. Why not? And then I ended up going to the U.S. to learn more about it. And just to keep it simple for now, we don't see with our eyes. Okay, we see with our brains through our eyes, and the same thing, we don't hear with our ears. Okay, so it's how the information is coming into our brain, how our brain processes it, and then how that then manufactures what we call movement. So, you know, if we think about the eyeballs as an extension of the brain, which it is, because the retina is brain tissue, and then we think of how does that information get into the brain for the brain to process the information, that's actually what vision therapy is. So, you know, one of the things I hear all the time is, like, you know, do you help kids with learning disabilities and do you help them read? It's no, we don't help them with the dyslexia. What we help them with is with any inefficiency in the visual skills that may be inefficient for them to read, right? And the percentage of that happening is high. I think it's 25-30%. I think it's a low stat. But there's, you know, 25% of every classroom has, you know, difficulty reading or dyslexia. Wow. That can be vision related. You know, so that's basically, like, vision therapy is basically how does the visual process work neurologically?
So most of what's in our brains comes through our eyes, right?
Yes and no. So we say that the brain is 80% visual. Okay. Now, you know, when I say visual, most people think it means what they see. It's not necessarily what we see. It's how the visual processing happens neurologically. So what do I mean by that? When we experience something, okay, so we experience something, yes, we see it, okay, and we hear it, and sometimes we can feel it. So all this information comes into the brain, and then the brain pieces all that information, and then that's where the processing actually occurs to make or to understand what it means. What is it that it's taking in? How do we put meaning to it? Okay, so how do we derive that meaning? And then the brain then manufactures an action based on how it's deriving this meaning that's happening, which is what we call the visual processing. So, you know, I could say to you, think of a bell, and the first thing that may come to you is I can hear it, right? Because you're an auditory processor. It's still visual processing in the way that you're taking in the information about thinking about how that bell works neurologically in the brain, if that makes sense, right? So, yeah, I mean, in understanding that there's that much of the neurology that is visual and how we can tap into the visual system and basically tap into the brain, look for any inefficiencies and then improve those efficiencies so somebody can experience life differently, hopefully better, but differently.
So let's talk more about your son, Gabriel, who has cerebral palsy. What was it like when you first started to understand that, wow, maybe I can help Gabriel with this new therapy? Take me through that process of where it started and just how he benefited from your understanding of this science.
Yeah, so just a little history on him. So we were pregnant with our second and third child, so they were twins. And then at the 20-week ultrasound is when we found that Michael wasn't going to make it to birth because he had a heart condition. Mm-hmm. And then 26, about 25 weeks into the pregnancy is where we thought, okay, they're coming. And we had one scare. Actually, it was a couple of them, and then finally we're giving birth. Fabi was giving birth to both of them. 5 days before Gabriel was born, Michael passed away, and then Gabriel was born at 26 weeks and 1 day. So we called the neonatal intensive care unit at the hospital home for the next 146 days, and that's where the journey began with him. All auditory testing showed that he was severely and profoundly impacted in hearing. So at that point, they told us he's not going to hear, he's not going to see, he's not going to walk, he's not going to talk, he's going to be in diapers his whole life. I mean, every possible prognosis, poor prognosis was there. I'm not the type to listen to prognoses like that. I, covered my wife's ears and said, don't listen to anything they're saying right now. Just be present and then allow everything to unfold the way that it was going to. 2 years, when he was 2 years old, is when it was confirmed the diagnosis of cerebral palsy. So there was a lot of, tests that happened at the time. And one of the doctors said to me, one day you'll understand why you had to go through this. And I mean, I wanted to kill him at that point, thinking nobody should have to go through this. But looking back to where I am now, because you mentioned, all of a sudden my purpose is starting to show up. I get it. Because what is, or what was one of the most difficult times in my life and in my story, ended up leading me in a direction of possibility. So, and the other amazing thing is the people that are showing up in my life and in our lives and the family's lives have been just incredible. One of them is a woman named Annette Benyel, and Judy Dack is a therapist of the Annette Benyel Therapy in Toronto. And I'm pretty sure that's the therapy that supported him with his auditory processing because, Gabriel can hear perfectly well, and he could back then. And the docs don't understand why, right? So how is it that his auditory system is hearing now, and he had, still profound and severe hearing loss? And the Annette Benyel therapy is basically slow movements in order to then create neuroplasticity in the brain, so slow movements in the body. And then, I started learning about all these alternative therapies that led me to understand our alternative therapy called vision therapy. Because Gabriel had probably the second highest prescription I've seen in my career, an eye turn, right? An eye turn and a lazy eye. So his one eye, wasn't seen clearly at all. Now his eyes are, he hears well, perfectly straight, no prescription, and he has 20/20 vision in each eye. So, to prove why it happens, I don't really understand, but something obviously neurologically shifted. You'll hear the term neuroplasticity a lot these days. It's a word that pops up a lot. It's real. We know that the brain is plastic and it can get trained in ways to support the potential of, in this case, his visual system. But I mean, ultimately, the potential of the individual. Right. So when I look at Gabriel, I don't see the disability. I see what the possibility is. And the gift that he gave me is everybody that I meet, I see the possibility. I don't see the disability. And it's a continuum, right? So everything's with respect to where that person has in terms of their ultimate potential, which again, we'll probably talk about it later, but it led to my purpose and what I do now. And, I love the name of the podcast, Beats Working, because I don't work anymore. This isn't work to me. Right, it's a passion. It's impact, making a difference in the world, and now I'm grateful that I get opportunities like this to share it, because a lot of people really don't know what it is, and vision therapy. A lot of the work that I do, even on the emotional intelligence side of coaching that I do as well. So, I hope I answered the question.
Yeah, you did. So I'm guessing you're not one of those doctors that says what you won't be able to do in the next X number of months or years of your life. You're one of those docs that says, okay, let's take a look at what we can do and what we can develop, right?
Yeah, always. It's I again, even you said it, like I'm sorry and thank you. But I always tell people it's the best thing that happened to me. Or I shouldn't say that. It's the best thing that happened for me. Right? And if I were to do anything all over again, I wouldn't change a thing.